The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Dear Zoe family, welcome to the 30th episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast, your favorite podcast, where we speak the truth, which is the Word of God, in love. I am Remy Eko, and I have the privilege of leading today's episode with my brothers, two great anointed men of God, Otto Medina Jr. and Wiley Harris III. Blessings, my brothers.
Blessings.
Hello, my friend.
Good to see you, brother. Episode 30. Wow. What a blessing, brothers. Our faithful God continues to empower us to do His work. Let us thank Him for His grace and commit this episode into His capable hands. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we approach Your throne with our hearts full of gratitude, thanking You for the cross, first of all, for that ultimate sacrifice of Your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, You have called us for such a time as this. You have appointed us and found us worthy to preach Your word in these end times. It is Your words. We are just vessels. So now we surrender ourselves to You, that You would speak through us. We lift up this episode before You, that You would permeate every second of every minute that we are together, Lord. We thank You for those that are listening to us, that You would bless them and edify them through what we are about to deliberate on. All to Your glory. Less of us, more of You. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 For those of you just joining the family, or if you're a regular listener but missed episode 29, Brother Otto, the lead host for that episode, will now give us a recap. Brother, the mic is yours.
Yes, thank you. To briefly recap what we talked about, it was biblical mentality, resetting and controlling our thought patterns with biblical thinking. We really emphasized on understanding our identity in Christ is one of the ways that would also help us to overcome negative, destructive thoughts. Knowing our purpose, putting on the helmet of salvation, as one of the hosts shared, and realizing that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We also talked about, as a man thinketh, so he is. But that we should also remember God's goodness and how graceful He has been to us. Ultimately, we discuss about understanding positional truth. And it's in understanding that positional truth that we will be able to take captive those thoughts that attempt to exalt itself against the knowledge of God.
Thank you, brother. That was a very impactful episode. And just that last piece of your recap, positional truth. Once we know our identity, once we know who we are in Christ, then it's easy for us to be able to control those negative thoughts and stand against them. If you missed that episode or any of our other 28 episodes that you want to catch up on, you can do that on any of the platforms that you listen to podcasts, and also on our website, thespokenverity.fm. We are grateful to God for you continuing to listen and be refreshed through the work He has called us to do here. ESV family, in episode 27, we examined the ongoing battle between the spirit and the flesh taking place within the believer. Holy Spirit inspired Apostle Paul to dwell on this battle quite a bit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. When studying that passage of scripture, you'll find two very contrasting attributes. First, in verse 19, Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Note, works of the flesh. And then in verse 22, our foundational verse for this episode, we find, but the fruit of the Spirit is. So one has fruit while the other one has works. One is singular, the other is plural. It's quite interesting too, don't you think, that Holy Spirit led Apostle Paul to write that the works of the flesh are obvious, or as the Amplified Version puts it, the doings of the flesh are clear. Yes, we family, during my closing monologue in episode 27, I touched on these differences I just referenced a bit, and I'll be picking up from there today as my brothers and I delve into the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, which I just referenced as our foundational verse for this episode, and also the first half of verse 23 of that same chapter, Holy Spirit enumerated the flavors of his fruit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. It is important to point out that there are no 9 fruits of the Spirit. No, it is one fruit. One could say it is one fruit with 9 flavors. So here's how our conversation will flow today. If you are a faithful listener, you're familiar with the structure of our episodes. But if you're joining the TSA family with this episode, we have 3 segments. In the first segment, the Reverend will lead us off expounding on love, joy, and peace. In the second segment, Brother Otto will lead the conversation on patience or long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. Then I will pilot our 3rd segment, focusing on faith, goodness, and self-control. As I set the stage for our time together today, TSV family, there's the high possibility that you've heard this subject preached several times, and you're probably very familiar with it, especially if you've been walking with the Lord for some time. You may know the fruit by heart, and that is very good. Be that as it may, our goal today is for all of us, those that are hearing about this for the umpteenth time, and those just learning about it, all of us, to freshly consider and meditate upon this incredible, refreshing fruit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our risen Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit at that particular moment. This verity is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 through 14. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the remission of the possession to the praise of his glory. From that moment, one could say that the seed was planted in us, and then the Spirit begins to work in us, making us more like Jesus. We water that seed and nurture it, so to speak, as we continue to yield to the Spirit, obeying his instructions and crucifying the flesh daily. Basically, the fruit of the Spirit is the result of Holy Spirit's work in our lives, uprooting our sin nature and restoring us to our original state before the fall of the first Adam. Another important point to note here is that we can't produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives by our strength. Failure awaits us when we attempt to do so. It is not the fruit of Remy, the fruit of Wally, or the fruit of Otto. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Here are the words of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, as recorded in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Now that I've laid the foundation for this restoring and revigorating fruit, which is the subject of our conversation today, I want to invite my brother, the Reverend, to get on the mic and expound on the first 3 flavors, love, joy, and peace.
The flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. I think that is the first time I have heard it said that way. So I'm going to stay in the context of this discussion point. So I'm going to provide considerable detail in relation to these flavors, as my brother has laid out. Let's start with love. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, do everything in love. Everything. Everything that you do must be done in love. This scripture is self-explanatory, but must be continually reiterated. Do everything in love. As a believer in Jesus Christ, that is the foundation for what you do every day. Living a life of love is just what it says. It's a lifestyle. It's not an event. It isn't something you do on Sunday to look good in front of people. It is how you live your life every day. It's how you treat your wife, your children, those connected to you, those who you don't think can do something for you. We know that God is love, and we know that love never fails. When you speak these verities, do you personalize it? You are God's children through Jesus Christ, so you will never fail. Don't look at that statement naturally. Look at it spiritually. Because you have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you through belief and confession of Jesus Christ, you will never fail, meaning you will live victoriously in heaven for eternity. Let me give you scripture for this in 2 Peter 1:10-11. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give your diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love is the foundation of everything we do. It compels us to have compassion on our fellow man, to instruct our children, to love our wives the way Christ loved the church and laid his life down for her. Before I engage in the flavor of joy, let's remember 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by Holy Spirit. So our whole being is love. Allow his love to flow out of you to all of those that are in your sphere of influence. Now let's talk about joy. Joy that comes from God is strength. It is a powerful weapon in your spiritual toolbox. We have discussed joy in great detail in the season one series, The Authority We Have as a Believer in Jesus Christ, where we gave our audience biblical verity as to why joy is a weapon in the warfare that we can use against the enemy of our souls. This attribute of the Spirit is of great importance because without it, our spirits can be broken, which will affect our natural bodies. And you've been using the word flavor. I like the word attribute, an ingredient or something that is a part of the essence of what the fruit is, a nutrient, if you will. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Being joyful is something we must do continually. Philippians 4:4 says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, TSV audience. And when you are done, rejoice again. It is a part of who you are. Engage in the joy of the Lord. Peace. This last flavor here. This attribute, or flavor as my brother has called it, is the calming assurance you get from Holy Spirit that illuminates the spiritual peace inside of you, fortifying your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Colossians 3:15 and Philippians 4:7 bear this out. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Notice here that peace is tied with thanksgiving. And then in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is the protection, the peace of God. It's protecting, it's keeping your heart and your mind. Our Lord and Savior is the Prince of Peace. And he left his Spirit of Peace for us, as detailed in John 14, 26 through 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. So you're not getting your peace from the world. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace is ours. It is in us. Let Holy Spirit illuminate your mind to that verity and meditate on it until that a calming assurance of his Spirit manifests in your daily life. As I close my answer, TSB audience, I want you to remember that all of the different attributes of the fruit of the Spirit we discussed today is already in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You just have to engage in what is already yours to see the fulfilling power of each spiritual attribute, each flavor in your life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. It's no surprise that love is the first, right? Just out of the jump, because as you read in 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's very clear. The entire New Testament, it's highlighted. That's one of the chief characteristics of Christians. It's love. There are dozens of Bible verses about it. And then joy, you know. We find in James, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Like, joy goes beyond just like being happy, you know. And then, of course, one of the names of our risen Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to switch now to my Wakanda brother, Brother Otto. Please expound as much as the Holy Spirit has given to you on the following flavors of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, and peace.
To start with love, I would just want to challenge people on how they're expressing their love to one another. For example, in Matthew 7:16, the Bible says, you will know them by their fruit. Okay, because that's what we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. These different characteristics that believers have. It's not multiple choice. You can't say, I want love, but I don't want patience. It doesn't work that way. And then people would tend to say, I don't have this. The Bible says differently. You do have this. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have all these different characteristics at your disposal at any time. So that's why with love, especially, because everybody likes love. My question is, and why do we continue to show a hateful spirit? Why do we continue to show indifference? Brother Wiley brought out different scriptures from John, you know, especially in 1 John epistle, where we talk about how can you say you love God, but then, you know, or even the other part of it is, how can you say you love God, but love the world? You know, it just doesn't mix, it doesn't come together. So love, I mean, that's what Jesus showed us, different aspects of love that we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. All those different ways. And some of us don't want to love sacrificially. We just rather love this other way, you know, where. And so I you know, I'll leave you to continue on that path of love, mm-hmm. because it's not a coincidence. That's the first one that's yeah. brought out.
Yeah.
Moving on to joy. In Psalms 28:7, it says, "The Lord, my strength and my shield, my heart trusts in him and I am helped. Mm-hmm. Therefore, my heart rejoices and I give thanks to him with my song." And that's just to not use the common one where the joy of the Lord is my strength. So you continue looking that verse up, and this is what you'll come up with. The Lord is my strength. So even when circumstances are terrible, even when situations just seem unbearable, there's a joy that no matter what the situation or circumstance, that we can continue to operate in that joy, knowing and believing that because of his strength,
yes,
we will be able to deal with whatever it is that we're dealing with. Mm. So peace. I like Romans chapter 5:1, but instead, when we look at other passages and cross-referencing that verse, Colossians 1:20 is what really caught my attention. Mm. It says, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross."
Come on.
And so peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm sure you guys have shown this and exemplified this going through some of the toughest times that you know, without going into any detail, but yet you guys exemplified a peace that surpasses all understanding, because some of the things I saw you go through, you know, it commands my respect, and I tip my hat to you guys, because I don't know if I could have handled that the way you handled the adversity that y'all had to overcome. But yet y'all did. Y'all not only have overcome, but y'all moved past that. Amen. And but those are good spiritual markers, not just for you, but for me, to look back and see that I ain't got to panic. I'm not in the Titanic. You know? I can have peace that God is going to take care of this and see us through.
Amen.
And that's how I would answer your question, brother.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Both of my brothers have expounded on the first three flavors of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, and peace. And I'll just add a little bit to the conversation to keep it going. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, we find these words of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So we see that we are commanded to love God, but also we are called to love each other. And we see this in John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And not to sound redundant, because my brothers have both expanded on this, I'll just leave that as it is and move over to the second flavor, joy. And as I stated earlier, this goes beyond being happy. Both my brothers have also said this. When you are a true believer, it is possible to remain joyful even when life is hard, as we see in the admonition from James chapter 1, verse 2, where he tells us that the test of our faith produces patience, and that's another fruit that we'll get into. Our joy comes from the fact that we know that our living God is seated on his throne, our sins are forgiven, and that we will live with him in eternity. Our perspective is changed, right? We are not focusing on what is happening. We are now seated in heavenly places and our minds are on things above. We know as well that nothing can separate us from his incredible love, and that gives us joy. even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because the Lord is our shepherd, he continues to remain with us. In peace, the Prince of Peace. This is one of the main characteristics of Christ. As I stated earlier, he's known as the Prince of Peace. And this is the scripture that we've shared several times. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So we see now that we can bear this fruit. We can give off this flavor of the Spirit by keeping our mind stayed on our risen Lord and Savior, on our God, and by trusting in him. Because that's the first thing the enemy is going to try and come to make sure that there is no peace. Because Christ allows him to propagate his work and to cause division and everything else. But is anything y'all want to add before I go to the next segment?
No, sir.
All right. Brother Otto, stay on the mic for me, please, and lead us off now as we get into this second segment or stanza, as the Reverend says. Expound on the following flavors of the fruit of the Spirit: patience, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness.
Well, I just stopped by to share with you, my brother.
Yes.
Man, I love it. I love it. Long-suffering. Let's start with long-suffering.
Yes.
So long-suffering is in the face of wrongs and ill treatment. It's showing an attribute of God. So in other words, patience is sustained under injuries and provocation, as opposed to hastiness to revenge or an inclination for us to patiently bear injuries. Remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our brother Paul wrote when he said the wisdom gave him. In 2 Peter 3:15, it says this. Well, let me keep context, starting in 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be shaken. But in your heart, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. But respond with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who slander you may be put to shame by your good behavior in Christ.
Mm.
That's long-suffering. In other words, it doesn't matter how people talk about you, think about you, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You maintain that patience, that long-suffering. And if you need a reminder, then think about how you were before you were saved and believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Mm.
God was patient with you,
long-suffering,
even though you worked against him.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So kindness, that's, you know, rendering service to others.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, another way to put it is kindliness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and again, that's frequently applied to God, as in Titus 3:4, where it says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. Okay, let me say that again. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not by the righteous deeds we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of the new birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So, kindness. So, it's like having sweetness and kindness of temper.
Mm.
In other words, and we become mutually useful to each other. You know, we're gentle with each other. We're not handling each other roughly and how we say speak the truth in love. You know, it's one way we want to speak the truth, but we don't do it in love. And then the last flavor, as you say, goodness. You know, that's the free bestowal of bounty on those who need, which cannot fail to gain goodwill. In other words, a disposition in us to hurt no one, none, but to do all the good that we can to all. That's goodness. So that's how I answer your question, my brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much for taking time to expound on those three flavors. I'll move over to the Reverend now and ask him to shed some more of what the Holy Spirit has given him regarding these three flavors: patience or long-suffering, kindness, and goodness.
You know, brother, as I was preparing for this segment and the third segment, the Holy Spirit directed me in a different direction, just in terms of how I answer this question, and specifically expanding and expounding upon patience, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. And he directed me to share a specific scripture or set of scriptures for each of these attributes or flavors, and then break down each verse. So that's what I'm going to do here. Start with patience and long suffering. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the first part of this, in the servant of the Lord must not strive. So here's a directive from Holy Spirit. It is telling you not to strive, not to be anxious, not to get outside of peace, but to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. See, this process is an act of your will. You are allowing Holy Spirit to use you to teach, and being gentle and patient. And you'll see in 25 how this ties in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Humility is a part of your patience. Instead of you trying to get people or attempting to get people to do it the way you want them to do it, allow Holy Spirit to show you, how do I reach them? Only in meekness, only in humility, will you be able to instruct those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. If you do not operate in this place of humility, if you are not patient in this place, in this space, you are opening up the door for the enemy to take captive those that are around you. And see, this goes back to being your brother's keeper. This goes back to understanding that you are responsible for those that come into your sphere of influence, whether it's your wife or your children or people that you work with or whatever the case may be. You are responsible. Remember that in humility, as you are helping and as you are engaging with people that Holy Spirit directs you to. So for kindness, this is a familiar scripture for a lot of believers in Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I know you've heard God won't forgive you if you don't forgive others. And there is some truth to that. But what we have to understand is that forgiveness is not something that is an option. You live in that space every day. And part of that is being tenderhearted. And that tenderheartedness comes from studying the Word of God, from being keenly aware of your surroundings to a point to where you will be looking for a place to be kind, looking for a place to reach for those that are around you in whatever scenario or problem they may be having in life, as directed by Holy Spirit, so that you can now help them come out of that place. And that's a part of these attributes here that we're talking about in terms of the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness. How do you feel when you come across those that don't believe the way you do? Are you kind to them still? Are you still exhibiting the love of God? Are you still operating in a place of wholeness and fullness before them in terms of your message, in terms of your lifestyle? Or are you looking at them and saying, well, because you don't believe like me, I'm going to leave you there. And whatever challenges you may have in life, I'm not going to engage. I'll let you stay there. No, what you need to do is let me see what I can do to reach. Let me see what I can do to engage. And part of that is being kind and tenderhearted And then you forgive when you are doing these things, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Yes.
And then lastly, goodness. I'm going to go to the Old Testament here in Nahum 1:7. And see, the reason why I'm reading this piece, I believe Holy Spirit is leading me to, because we're talking about how these flavors are applicable in our lives, but we have to remember where the fruit of the Spirit came from.
Yes.
The Lord is good. So we know that's where it comes from, right here.
Come on,
our
come
God.
On. Mm-hmm.
A stronghold in the day of trouble. Mm-hmm. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Mm-hmm. He is the stronghold. He is our foundation. He is the one on which everything is built upon.
Mm-hmm.
He knows us because we trust in him. He is the one that put that fruit in us when we received his son, Jesus Christ. He is our Father. So when we operate in these flavors, in these attributes, if you will, of patience, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness, we are operating just like our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, brothers. If you're just joining us, we are discussing the fruit of the Spirit. And in this second segment, we're looking at patience or long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. And I just want to add this verse to all that my brothers have shared out of Colossians chapter 3, starting from the 12th verse. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive, right? So we see here, just as my brother said, that this is when we act with patience, when we have kindness and goodness, we are demonstrating Christ. We'll be in the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You know, as he said, when people see us acting that way, they see Christ. I am reminded of the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18, 32 to 35, when Christ illustrated how, if we looked at into long suffering and how this is someone that was just granted mercy, but turn around and does not extend it, which is what my brother was just sharing. Because one thing that puts a lot of people off concerning Christianity, apart from whatever they're dealing with and how the enemy keeps on tugging at their soul, is how most times as Christians, we look at people from this elevated place. Well, I'm saved. Yeah, you got issues. You got to do this. You got to do that. Forgetting that it was just yesterday, but for the blood, right? No matter how elevated we are, no matter how much knowledge we have of God, we always have to reach. You know, we always have to make sure that those that are connected to us within our families. So we just want to go to heaven and be the only one from the family that goes to heaven? Is that the plan?
No,
yeah, is that a plan? Oh, okay. Yeah, all your friends are not saved. It's okay. Well, you're just going to do you. Like, you reach out. You try. Long-suffering, patience. I've talked to them once, even in marriages, right? Which is one major point of attack for the enemy. This is where these three flavors come to bear a lot, you know, patience, kindness, and goodness, you know, because husbands and wife may not be on the same page as every time. Then it now goes into the kids, you know, how you raise them up and whatever influences they may have and how all of that manifests itself. That is a primary ground for patience, kindness, and goodness to come forth. Brothers, anything y'all want to add?
No, brother, I'm good.
Good, good, good. All right. So in this last segment now, I will lead our conversation as we explore faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness, the seventh flavor of the fruit of the Spirit. God is faithful. He has promised several times in his word he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always near to us, especially when we are brokenhearted. When we stray, he guides us. And we have already shared that this fruit of the Spirit with these nine flavors is something that is in us when we accept Christ as our risen Lord and Savior and confess with our mouth that he is our Lord, right? So it is, if God is that way, it means that this flavor now manifests as well through all that we do in our lives. In Psalm 33, verse 4, we see, "For the word of God is upright, and all his work is done in truth, in faithfulness." Right? We also see Christ being faithful, carrying out the work that was given to him all the way, right, till the end, making sure that he fulfilled the will of the Father. So, first, we are called to be faithful to God. There will be times when it's difficult. There will be times when that is tested, when life gets really hard and we have to walk through trials. And we have to now depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us through those times. We must also be faithful to one another. My brothers have shared this. And as I continue with this, there is a common thread here, seeing that these flavors of the fruit are interdependent, one on top of the other. It's all just kind of flowing together, right? Because Brother Otto shared about having wise counsel, having people you can confide in. And that we see that here, where if you have a struggle and you need help, you can reach out and ask someone to just encourage you and be that person that you can get strength from during that period that you're struggling with. Gentleness. Our culture doesn't really emphasize gentleness anymore, right? You know, the way to get our way now is being loud, brash, and forceful, like who has the most followers, that's the way to go. But Proverbs 15, verse 4 tells us that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. When we speak and act aggressively towards one another, that is not a fruit of the spirit. We have to speak gently and act gently. I'm not talking about, oh, you know, they said this to me, so I must retaliate in that form. You already missed a step right there, brother or sister, because that's not what we're called to do. We are called to be gentle. Just as God is so gentle with us, we must also be gentle towards others. And then self-control. This is a biggie for sure, because again, the self leads to a conversation we've had several times here. Pride, you know, pride is so much in the self. So having to now put that pride under control is hard sometimes. It's no secret that that's very hard, you know, but still, the Spirit calls it as one of the fruit, and it's essential for us to be self-controlled so that we're in control of our thoughts and our actions. We're not just automatic like robots, like, okay, this is where the world is going, I'll just go here. Oh, this is what everybody's doing now, so hey, I'll just go do it. No, we bring ourselves under the authority of the Holy Spirit, and they allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Brother Wally, please add to the conversation here regarding faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Thank you, brother. So for these flavors, if you will, as I mentioned in the second segment, I'm going to stay in that same space in terms of providing scripture and then breaking each of those verses down, how Holy Spirit has given it to me. Specifically in regards to faithfulness, there are two aspects here of scripture: God's faithfulness to us and our faithfulness to him. And then the first one, where it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And think about this. When you are speaking and you are living the word of God, you have to have confidence and faith in the one that you are speaking and living for. And this is where the faithfulness of God comes in. If he said it, it happens. Now, you don't know exactly when that's going to occur, but it's not your job to look at the timeline or determine in within yourself, oh, okay, I'll believe this later. No, believe it now. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised to you.
Yeah. Amen.
And then our faithfulness to him, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf to those who are loyal to him, whose heart is loyal to him. And then Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, this is something that has always been a challenge in business, just in life in general. And it's very difficult to find someone that's faithful, someone that you can engage with, as Brother Arthur was talking about, someone that you know has put the word of God at the center, at the root of their lives. And then not just for their own lives, but then for their families, those that God has connected them to, those that God has allowed into their space by his sovereignty. And so our faithfulness to him is demonstrated by those that are in their lives and also by those that have allowed us to speak into their own lives.
Yes.
That's important as well, because if you're not faithful to continue to speak those things into those lives that have been connected to you, then what you're doing is you're hiding the word. You're putting it under a bushel, as scripture talks about. You do not want that to be named among you. What you want to do is stay faithful in those spaces and trust God to do what he's going to do in your life.
Amen.
Gentleness. You talked about this in Proverbs 15:4, but I'm going to go to the very beginning of that chapter, Proverbs 15:1, where it says a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Remember, I laid out a scripture where it talks about that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Yes.
And this piece here in terms of gentleness, as you rightly stated, no one really talks about this, because to be gentle is to be weak. In that
Yeah.
It's something that you don't take the time to be gentle in terms of how you deal with people. Just because you have the truth, if it's not presented in love, it's still out of line, because you're not presenting the truth in love.
Yes.
You can yell the truth. It doesn't change the truth, but how it's received is the issue, because you are not presenting it in love. And as a challenge for me, I believe that I've gotten better with it over the years, but every so often it still comes up, because I know what the truth is. And in my mind, why don't you? Like, that's the way I look at it. And so my understanding of this is, in order for me to be gentle and patient, according to what we were reading earlier, apt to teach those that are in opposition of themselves, this is part of the fruit of the Spirit and how it applies. And when you give that gentle answer, wrath won't be around. And then it will produce the righteousness of God. And then lastly, for self-control, the two scriptures here, in the first one in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This is another attribute that doesn't get a lot of attention. We don't want self-control. We want access to whatever we want access to whenever we want access to it. We don't want people to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. We don't want there to be a standard in which we must live our lives by. We want to be able to do what we want to do. And therein lies the problem. We talked about in episode 28, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're not being led, you're not operating in self-control either, because you're allowing your way of doing things to trump, no pun intended, the ways of God, what he's instructed you to do. So you have not disciplined yourself to the fact that this is where I need to stay.
Yeah.
This is where I need to be, because this is what has been instructed to me by God. And then in Job 31:1, now, this was something that Holy Spirit dropped on me at the very end. And I was wondering why he mentioned this, because this is something that's kind of left field, but it's apropos to believers that are married, men. This is very important. It's what Job said. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? You have made a covenant within yourself before your God to watch what comes into your eyes. What you listen to, all of these things that you put before you, if you do not exhibit and exercise self-control, the enemy will feel like he has a place. He'll bring somebody in front of you. He'll tempt you with something that you in your mind or have actually overcome. But here it comes back again. It's to test you to see where you are. You've made a covenant with your eyes. You've made a covenant with your ears. You are doing these things. This is intentional, firstly, and then becomes habitual in your life. But self-control is a huge part of this operation in terms of how you live your life. All of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit are, but specifically within self-control,
this
is very important because it, in patience, you keep your soul. When you stay in that place, you trust God with that and you allow him to do what he's going to do in your life.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. So powerful. Brother Otto, please add to the conversation here. Expand on the following flavors of the fruit of the Spirit: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yes, sir. Faithfulness. As Brother Wiley said, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to each other. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith, stop.
Come on.
Think about this for a second.
Come on.
Now, right now, not yesterday, not last week, not even next week. Now faith.
Come on.
That's what we have to have. Now faith. And that word in this passage is a derivative of the Greek word pistuo. And this one is said pistis. And it means very similarly to what's mentioned in the Gospels, and that's faith, belief, trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. So are we being confident in what God can do? Are we confident about who we are in Christ? So that's how I cover on the faithfulness part.
Okay.
And then you have the gentleness, it's meekness. And that's something that, again, people really, really get wrong. And just because a person is gentle or meek does not mean that it's an opportunity to allow yourself to be a doormat.
Yeah.
It's not that at all.
Yeah.
You're able to express power with a reservation and a gentleness, if you will. And then the last one is self-control that I really want to kind of cover a little more in depth. Now, self-control, when we look at that particular word, it has the meaning of self-mastery, self-restraint, or a certain continence. It means that it comes from within, but not by oneself. It's because of the Holy Spirit that enables you to be able to withstand, to endure, to persevere, and ultimately have control, if you will, of yourself. And that when a temptation comes along, you are able to resist it. Opposition comes, you're able to deal with it accordingly.
Yeah.
As God will want you to deal with it.
Yeah.
And by all means, we combine them all. And as I alluded to earlier, this is not a matter of multiple choice. We have this at our disposal. We just have to use it. As scripture says, we have to put on the armor.
Yeah.
We have to put on our robe of righteousness. Put it on. So I guess one example that I guess we can use is now when we need to go from our house to the store, we get in the car, and the car, unless it's a Tesla, I guess, but you still need a key to turn on the car so you can go to the store. So that's one of the ways to try to explain that you have to put on this self-control that's accomplished by the power of the Lord.
Amen.
And turn it on as opposed to just not doing anything. So that's how I answer your question, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, brothers. both of you have shared, and I love how it was based on scripture. When you were speaking about faithfulness, Brother Otto, I was reminded about a few verses down in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, specifically verse 6, where it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. And if we look at the fruit of self-control, I am reminded of this verse in Philippians 2, verse 13. "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to walk for his good pleasure." Amen.
Amen.
But is there anything you all want to add before I close?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that our audience understands that this fruit is already in you. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Yes. All of these attributes are there. You just simply have to engage. Now, part of your engaging means you need to understand what each attribute is, what it does, and how it applies into your life so that you can draw on it. But it's in you. It's not something you have to strive for. It's there. You just have to operate in it. And like I said, part of that is your understanding of what the Word of God says in relation to each attribute, in relation to each flavor, so that we understand what's going on and how that's going to apply into your life.
Yes.
But don't think this is something that you have to strive for. You got to work to do. Get the works out. It's not about works.
Yeah.
Now, you are doing something, but these works, these attributes that are happening in your life in terms of the fruit of the Spirit is what's already there. So you're not working for it. You already have it.
Yes.
So just make sure that you all understand that as you're listening to this episode and then downloading into your spirit. I am love. I have self-control. I am patient. I am kind. Even if you may not be doing those things at the time, this is still yours. So now if you see that you're not operating like this, make the adjustment.
Yeah.
Listen to Holy Spirit. Hey, I'm not being kind here. What do I need to do in that space to become kind? My self-control isn't there when I'm in traffic. Somebody comes and says something to me that I don't agree with, and I respond to them. I'm not operating in this place that is a part of who I am. So help me to change that. So I just wanted to leave our audience with that.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Again, the Holy Spirit, that's the perfect segue into my closing monologue. A couple of points I wanted to point out. The Reverend already started us off on a great footing. It is not about trying harder, but being steadfast. If you look at trees, right, you see some of them have dried up and are bare, while some, those that are fully connected to the trunk, those that still have life, they flourish by tapping into that source. So it is with the Spirit, like Christ says, abide in him. That is how this fruit manifests. It is not about, oh, I want to prove something, which is the second point. We shouldn't look at this like, oh, okay, you know, when you play video games, you get certain badges, or maybe when you go through certain courses, you get a badge like you've achieved that level, you've achieved this. The fruit of the Spirit and badges of honor that we have to attain as Christians, because we have nothing to boast except in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just have to let go of the need to prove something and simply allow the Holy Spirit to walk through us, and the fruit will abound. It's not about being good enough. Like my brother shared as well, in areas that we're struggling, we can come to him. For in 2 Corinthians 12:19, Paul says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So we go to the Holy Spirit and ask him to strengthen us in these areas where we struggle. Lastly, this is not about rules. We shouldn't view the fruit of the Spirit as rules or requirement. We receive them with grace when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So these are not items on a checklist that we carry around and just so like we just abide, get soaked in the Word of God and in His presence by spending time with Him. If we take a toddler that's maybe 2 or 3 and move them to, I'll just pick maybe China, and they are in that environment, it is very possible that at age 15, somewhere in their teenage years, they can speak the language. It's the same thing when we do, if we abide in the Holy Spirit, if we just continue to dwell in His presence, there is no effort to be made. It comes out of us because that's what is in us. That's what is rich in us. So that's where the fruit comes from, because we spend time, we water this fruit that was given to us when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Before we close episode 30, I'll ask the Reverend to give us a preview of episode 31 of your favorite podcast.
In episode 31 of the Spoken Verity podcast, we will have a comprehensive discussion on the destructive force of pride. Mm. This sin has been minimalized in the church and is a staple in the world we live in. Our conversation will shine light on pride's dismantling power. We look forward to you joining us for episode 31.
What a powerful episode that promises to be. Pride. Let us close episode 30 in prayer. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity to just spend time talking about you and all your attributes and flavors that you've planted in us, that you will to come forth, not by our works. Yes, there is effort that we have to put in, but the effort is to spend time with you. The effort is to seek you more. The effort is to dwell with you so that we might yield forth much fruit, like our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says. We just commit, Lord, everyone that is listening to this episode, even those that will listen later on, we ask, Lord, that wherever they may be struggling among these attributes and these flavors, that give them the grace to seek help from you. And for those that are flourishing, that they will continue to abide in you so they may flourish more and more, so that we will continue to be the light and the salt by abiding in you. Thank you for your fruit. Thank you for the flavors and the attributes that continue to come out of us and touch those that are connected to us, because that's all we've been talking about. Every single flavor, every single attribute, touch those we are connected to, those that you have brought into our lives. Again, we are grateful for trusting us with this venture, and we thank you for how you continue to empower us. Episode 30, Holy Spirit, all by your power, all by your grace and mercy, we thank you, we bless you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God. In love, all the blessings.